Whether you're just looking to stay warm during a hunt or need maximum concealment, the clothing you wear can make or break a hunt. At MidwayUSA.com, we understand hunting clothing has come a long way with more meticulously crafted camo patterns, advanced scent control technologies, and weatherproof options to withstand the elements. Hunters have to wait until their favorite season, but shouldn't wait on gear, which is why MidwayUSA offers super fast shipping. When you're ready for your next system, log on to MidwayUSA.com. Hunting boots are a critical component of any successful hunt. Whether walking a short distance to your blind or trudging miles through rugged terrain, your feet are carrying the load. Without the right boots, you could give up early and lose out on that trophy just over the ridge. At Midway USA, we make selecting boots for your next hunt easier. With just a few clicks of a mouse, you can decide on what's important, like waterproofing, insulation, size, width, and savings. For just about everything for shooting, hunting, and the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com.
Welcome back for another OG Show Live. Mr. Randall, how you doing?
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Reel Down.
Welcome back to another episode of Bass Fishing for News.
Hi, boys and girls. Welcome to, once again, Bass Kayak Appears.
Brother, this is the final cast.
Another segment of Chasing the Tide, your saltwater connection on the Paladin.
Welcome back, everyone. Another episode of Feather and Fur, your host,
Randall. Welcome back to the Mindset Podcast. I'm your host, Crystal.
Hey, welcome back to Off the Water.
Can you hear with Adventures of Outdoor Woman Podcast?
Hey guys, welcome to the Rusty Hook Kayak Fishing Podcast.
We're brought to you by Pelican Built Tough. For all situations, go to pelican.com. Eastport Marina on the beautiful shores of Dale Hollow Lake. For all your lodging, kayaking, go to eastport.info. Yak Gadget. For all your fine kayak fishing accessory needs, go to yakgadget.com.
Welcome back, boys and girls, to another Pal and Finn Noob Show. I'm Susie Q.
And I'm Sean. Welcome, guys.
And I am back from having my shoulder surgery. You can still kind of see one of my kind of stitches, incisions right there. But doing pretty good. And, you know, now that I've been home for about a week and a half now, I'm already itching to, you know, get back and doing things. But, you know, I can't even hardly lift my arm straight out in front of me. I mean, I could do bicep curls for days, but going up like that, it's bad news bears.
Yeah. Yep.
But today we've got an awesome guest lined up because, you know, we're coming into September now, which means it's going to be fall soon, which also means it's going to be time for the salmon run. Which, if you guys don't know, I fell in love with salmon fishing in 2015, I believe, 2015 or 2016, with my first event with the Great Lakes Kayak Fishing Series, and have just loved it ever since. I've typically only gone in the fall. You can, you know, chase them any other times of the year and whatnot, but man, feeling the power of a 25-pound plus king salmon just pulling you around, it is unbelievable.
I'm excited to hear about this.
Oh my gosh. It's making me, like, you know, just, you know, drool, because I'm just like, I get to hear all this salmon stuff. Even though I can't do it this fall, I'm like, oh god, next year, baby. Next year. I can't wait. So without further ado, we are going to bring in our special guest, which is Michael Muniz, a.k.a. the Chai City Yakker. Welcome, hey. Mike.
Thank you, welcome, man. I appreciate it. I'm happy to be here. Love talking about fishing, especially salmon fishing. So I've known Susie for quite a few years. She's been tearing it up bass fishing, and now we get to talk about some salmon stuff.
Yes. Yes. That's right. So yeah, Mike, if you want to introduce yourself a little bit, tell everybody where you're from, you know, what you do, sure. And all that fun stuff.
Yeah, sure. So Michael, I go by the online name Shy City Yakker. I'm from Chicago, and that hence the shy comes from Chicago. City Yakker. Despite the name, I fish all over. You know, so people find me Indiana, Wisconsin. I'm like, well, your name is Shy City. You're not just in Chicago. And I follow the fish, and that's one of the benefits about kayak fishing is you can really go to where they migrate, and we could talk about that as we get further into it. But I've been kayak fishing since 2013, and I started off in a kayak from a paddle kayak and Jackson kayaks, a big rig, had a Kraken. Started paddling. I was doing the bass fishing stuff for maybe like the first year or so. Then I dabbled in Lake Michigan. And 2013, you know, this wasn't like what kayak fishing is now. It was very niche, like even more niche than what it is now. It was very
yes. A lot of do it yourself, right?
Yeah. Oh, a lot of just trying to like, yeah, you were really just paving your own way. And I had but a handful of guys that were experienced in kayak fishing, Lake Michigan, Rob Wendell, one of them, Jerry Urbanazo, Phil. I always screw up his last name. Sorry, Phil. But these are some of the guys I met early on that had been doing it for way back. So I leaned on them for a lot of the early years of just navigating it. And they've been great. And so I started paddling, fishing Lake Michigan, which is like really hard to run the side and you're doing this and trying to go. Yeah. And I quickly was like, okay, this isn't going to work. So I progressed into a PA Pro Angler 14. And that's where I then started getting like, okay, I'm getting this now. I got hands free, started learning more. And the first couple of times, a lot of learning and fumbles, if you will, just kind of, you know, dropping this in the water, doing this, you know, those growing pains in the kayak out on big open water. Not to mention just the initial nerves of it all. You know, I like to live on the edge, but there's something a little bit butt clenching about being out in the open water. Yeah. And this, you know, you're in this little vessel and the shoreline's about this big. That is both exhilarating and also like, oh my God, if something happens right now, I'm so screwed. But it was a rush for me and I got addicted to that on top of the fishing, which, you know, listen, I commend all my fellow bass anglers, but we don't live in a state where we get big bass like Florida or Alabama, you know, Texas, where you know, 5 pounds is a small fish. You know? Yeah. So I got tired of 2 pound bass, in the Cook County Forest Preserves that were stunted. And I quickly just fell in love with the salmon. You know, to me, there's a real kind of mental factor that goes into it in terms of putting together so many different elements of weather patterns, water temps, currents, running spreads, and it's almost like a math equation, right? Like if you line up all these variables, and when you get it right and you get that reward, which is that salmon, it's like the best feeling, you know? Not to say that going out for bass fishing isn't challenging. You still got to do these kinds of things. But generally, you could pitch over a grass mat and pull a bass out with a frog bait or whatever, buzz baits, whatever. Salmon is so much harder, pelagic. They're swimming around. There's so much water. Where do you even go? So I got addicted to that. I got addicted to that aspect of like putting all the pieces together and figuring it out and then being rewarded with this salmon, which, by the way, tastes amazing. I mean, food at home. And for the record, you know, I'm working on a video where doing the math on is it cheaper to just buy salmon from the store or go. Spoiler alert, go buy it in the grocery store. But that being said, I got into salmon fishing hardcore. I stopped inland fishing for bass anyway. And probably since about 2015, my focus has all been on salmon fishing, you know, kayak fishing Lake Michigan. And I've worked to become, I guess people will say I'm a specialist in this area. Since I started kayak fishing, I created a YouTube channel. And for most of the years that I had the channel, it was largely just a place to put these adventures at, right? More for my own, honestly, early on, for just my own archival purposes. You know, I had a career going on, and I just took it as for fun, as a hobby. I would put up videos, share some stuff, info as I learned it. I'd pass on the knowledge as best I could. You fast forward to 2020, a year that changed the entire country and world, where we had, the nasty bug come around that had everybody quarantining. January of that year, I was in the radio commercial music industry and radio music industry. So podcasts and talking and radio was all very familiar ground for me. But they did a series of cuts before COVID actually happened. They just did nationwide cuts, and I was let go after over a decade of time on the radio with this company. One door closes, another one opens. I took that as a sign that the sign to just pursue this passion, right, and go all in on it and commit to being full-time content creating, expanded and opened up my Lake Michigan kayak fishing business. So I guide, if you will. I really more so call, feel like it's coaching than guiding. I think when you go guiding on a boat, they take you out, they charter you, they set up everything. You just reel in the fish, right? Whereas on these kayak fishing trips, you're in your own kayak. I can't do anything for you in your kayak. So I'm really coaching people along, explaining to them, this is why we're going to go here. This is what to look for. Look at the water. Look how your rods are pulling, to really educate them so they can take that information from a trip and build on it to go out for themselves. Ultimately, people want to be able to do this for themselves. And let's be real, not have to pay for a trip every so often, right? So I do my best to educate them. It's like a one-on-one, experience. And any question I can answer, I will. We go through everything. And that's a large part of what I've been doing since 2020. Really focusing on the content creation on YouTube and social media. Working with different brands to create content, UGC, they call it user generated content. So I'll make stuff up for various brands like Angle or Yak Attack more recently. I've been doing this journey, and it's really been the last 2 years more like full time, treating it like a business and trying to grow it and educate in as many ways as I can, hosting webinars throughout the year, throughout the different seasons, so people can kind of get a class and apply that when they go on the water as maybe the refreshers or they're new to it. And so that's where the journey is now. And it's been amazing. It's not easy. It's very niche area. It's not like bass fishing where it's there's billions of dollars in bass fishing. The industry is huge when it comes to bass fishing, man. It really is. Salmon fishing, not so much. It's very niche. But I've managed to position myself to a place where when people think of kayak fishing Lake Michigan, my name tends to come up in the conversations. Like last year, I have a great relationship with Old Town, fantastic kayaks. I'm not on their pro team by anything like that, but I have a great relationship with them. And I've done projects with them. They've brought me out to the Pacific Northwest last year. This year, next week, as a matter of fact, we have a big project here on Lake Michigan. So we're going to be filming and really, really cool stuff. And it's cool because when people think of salmon in Lake Michigan, it's, hey, we call Michael. Let's see what info we can get. Can he help us out here or whatever the case may be? And that's really... for me, that is a sign that, okay, things are going in the right direction. It's also very flattering. People consider me. I mean, the fact that you guys reached out to me to have me on your podcast, it's like, dude, I'm so flattered. And anytime I can offer anything to anyone when it comes to salmon fishing, I'm there. Count me in. I love to talk about it. Love to go out there and do it. In fact, I'll be out tomorrow morning. So batteries are charging right now, nice. to get on everything. And so that's where I'm at right now. And I'm excited to see where things continue to grow as we keep going forward with it. Yeah.
I think it's cool that you kind of got in on the ground floor of that, of the salmon side of kayak fishing. Cause you know, as it grows and expands, you're going to be that name. Like when we think of bass fishing and we think of names like Chad Hoover and those kind of names, that's going to be you with the, I mean, it already is. It sounds like a lot of what you're saying, but just knowing that you are kind of the pillar of a pillar of that side of the kayak angling industry is kind of cool.
Yeah. I aspire to be, you know, and there's, you know, there's other folks that obviously I wouldn't be in the position I'm in without their help. Like Rob Wendell's a huge part of that. And the guys that I think we mentioned prior to going live right now, I mentioned some other guys like Jerry and Phil, you know, some of these kind of like the OGs of the early days. I mean, these guys are in some unnamed brand of kayak, you know, learning the ropes. And so I'm very fortunate that I was able to kind of have them kind of guide me early. And then now as peers, you know, we're always talking about new techniques and how we're, you know, what can we evolve in terms of kayak fishing for salmon? You know, do we run a dipsy on your thing? Do you want to run a copper on it? The pros and cons. We, you know, and I'm at a point now where I do a lot of my time is on the water experimenting with, you know, what's the next thing? What's the next thing that we can do? You know, I get it that if it's not broke, don't fix analogy kind of a thing. But at the same time, it's also cool to find new things at work and then kind of share that and see where it goes.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
At Midway USA, we know the AR-15 is one of the most popular rifles in modern American history. Known for its modularity and widespread use, it's often considered essential to any gun collection. The essential things you need to run an AR-15 are usually always in stock during shortages, things like magazines and 5.56 ammo. Whether you're looking to buy a new AR-15 or buy parts for your modern sporting rifle, log on and for just about everything for the outdoors, shop MidwayUSA.com.
That's awesome. Well,
I'm sure as advances come out, like, you know, the different sonars and stuff and, you know, motors, and I'm sure that's going to change the game, you know, and as long as you're able to stay ahead of that and, you know, like you said, have those conversations with your peers and how is this going to impact us? How can we use these new tools to, you know, make this even easier or not easier necessarily, but, you know, definitely use it to benefit. Cause I have a feeling being out on big water like that with a motor is a lot more comforting than not paddling especially.
Yeah, for sure. Paddling, it can be done, but man, it's you're really doing like a circus show trying to hold. Yeah, like it's a lot. And if you're serious about kayak fishing like Michigan, at minimum you need pedals to be efficient. I'm a firm believer that the more efficient you are in your kayak on Lake Michigan, it's gonna pay off with better results. You know, the more you're streamlined with your setup, I tell people, have a setup and start to get into a workflow on your kayak. How do you set your lines? Do it in a certain order, organize your tackle a certain way so that you're very efficient within that, because these bite periods can be very short. And if you're bumbling around, if you're doing this, if you don't have a system in place, you're wasting time and you'll miss these opportunities. You know, one of the biggest things that I've come to learn and as part of my success on Lake Michigan, it's always been about taking advantage of the opportunity, whether it's the winds are perfect or we got a strong blow and it cooled off the water near shore. When you see these kind of things happen, you need to be ready to get out in the water. Now, I granted, since I now do this full time, I go out on a Thursday at whatever time, and people nine to five. I get that. However, I'm sure many of you have sick days. Burn one, you know. You don't have to be sick to use a sick day. Burn a sick day when we get that good west wind or a strong south wind that blows in the cold water up and right off in front of harbors or near shore and bang out some fish, you know. And to what you were saying about technology, I just recently added LiveScope Plus, and man, let me tell you, that has been. There's so much I'm gathering right now in terms of information. I look forward to sharing that, and down the road, maybe in a webinar about learning so much about salmon behavior in the water. How I can see my spread. I can see, and I've been sharing clips on my Instagram from the salmon. I just posted one today of me jigging. Right?
Yeah, jigging. I was showing him that earlier, and I'm like, dude, look at this. You can see his jig popping up, and then you can see that salmon, see
the
just
fish go, and the tail when it came the way I had before. It came so the I'm gonna see, I'm trying to get the perspective here on the camera. But if my jig is here, let's say I'm back here, the jig's in front of me, the fish swiped up like this, so it came head first. And what I've noticed is a lot of salmon attack from the front. You know, when you think of trolling, you think they're just gonna come up from behind. And boom, a lot of times they come in from what I've seen so far. Mm-hmm. They'll come in forward and come down on it or come up. They're coming at some kind of angle generally, and they'll either smack it at the angle or they'll come right by it, pass by it, do a quick U-turn and smack it. So it's really interesting. Very few times have I watched them come up from just behind, swim up behind and just take it. So learning a lot about these fish behaviors, how they're hitting the baits. You see them more than anything. I'm telling you, it's driving me nuts already. Watching them come up to, here's the lure, and they just put their nose on it, and they just turn away. Like, no, it's right there. It, come on. So I'm learning a lot, and it's really exciting. Because you can have this LiveScope stuff. It doesn't mean the fish are going to bite. It does not mean they're going to bite. You know, at best, you can see it. It can irritate you. I've talked to other guys that say, yeah, you know what? I use LiveScope now just to see, find them, and then I turn it off and just fish it, because if I have to watch them not eat my lure, I'm just going to drive me crazy. I get it. So a lot, I think that's an area where I believe in the salmon fishing area, trolling, we're going to see more adaptation on boaters, potentially kayakers, adding LiveScope. And you know, Garmin just recently released their newest versions, the Plus, which I recently got, and then the XR, the extended range, which now that one they purposely made for big water, for essentially trolling applications, right? Or for the ocean as well. But you could take that and shoot that out to 500 feet. So if you're in a boat, you're going to be able to see your riggers, your dipsies, and maybe some of your lead cores, you know? So you got a lot of range, so you can see a lot more of your spread. And I think that's where in the electronic side, I think more boats will start to tinker around with that.
Oh yeah, for sure. So, you know, you're talking about, you know, some of these terms and everything, you know, you're talking about flashers and dipsies and lead core and all this stuff. And I'm sure a lot of people listening and watching are just like, what the hell is he talking about?
That would be me, because I don't know anything. I'm like, that sounds amazing, but yeah.
So what I'd like to do next is to, you know, kind of start off with, you know, okay, you know, we've heard, you know, what you do and everything with salmon fishing and whatnot. So like, okay, I want to go. Can I just grab my bass rod and my bass lure and just go salmon fishing now? What does it take?
Yeah, depending on the year, you could technically, yes, you could get away with like your flicker shads, some cranks, square bills, in a bass rod. It depends on the time of the year. You know, the great thing about Lake Michigan is that you can fish it year round. Ice, no ice. Summer, when it doesn't, you can fish it year round and there's always something to fish for. Now, you know, we think of salmon and trout, obviously, but a lot of people don't talk about the smallmouth fishing. It's so slept on specifically the southern end, right? When I'm talking mm-hmm. about Indiana waters, Illinois waters, and into Wisconsin, but largely Illinois and Indiana, you know, you're talking about the small fishing that's available that isn't really being spoken on. And I'm sure the hardcore guys that do it are probably not really liking that I'm talking about. There are tremendous opportunities. I'm convinced that there's state records just in these two state waterways. You've got the perch this year so far. It's been actually an upswing in perch. It's been really impressive to see the perch fishing that's been happening since, I would say, last November. And it's held up throughout the year with fish coming in and out. But the fish have been caught, and the numbers have been something to talk about. It's actually impressive. You've got beautiful pike and almost every harbor. Like, there's just so many fish, you know, to fish. So even on those days where you can't go off fish for salmon, you can fish in the harbor all day for smallies, crappie, there's catfish in there, there's the pike, a lot of opportunities. But if you want to get out, depends on the time of the year. In the early spring, ice up, and like that late fall, early winter period, still cold out, water's really, really cold, you can fish a lot of these harbors with a crankbait and a bass rod or a spinning rod and get into brown trout. You can get to some steelhead. You're going to catch some pike in there, some big drum. You'll pop some smallmouth. But if you really want to get into, like, focus specifically on the salmon, then yeah, you're going to need to upgrade some equipment, buy some things that are more salmon specific, because a lot of what salmon fishing entails is reproduction, meaning if I let out this rig 50 feet back and a fish hits, that's letting me know that lure that I put out 50 feet back is going down into the right strike zone where these fish are at. So I want to be able to replicate that on my other rods to increase my hookup opportunities. So that's where line counters come in. So you can count your amount of feet out. You want to be able to count your depth properly. In a kayak, most of us use torpedo weights. It's a way to clip on a weight onto your line to then take it down to work your deeper depths, 40, 50, 60, 70 feet down. Some people will put on kayak downriggers. I'm not personally a fan of it, but it is an option and they can be done. So you would work that downrigger manually, just like you would something like on a boat. So it works the same way. You clip on your line, takes your rig down. And then you'll have different kind of setups. Early spring, late fall, going into like the winter period before ice up, crankbaits are fantastic for a variety of fish. Coho, browns, steelhead will all smash them up in that time period when the water's really cold. When you move into like your spring, you start moving into your dodger flies. That's when you start getting the coho to start doing their migratory spring run. That's about the best time of the year to get them because the water's cold. That meat is just cold and fresh. You cut them open, that meat is nuclear orange and delicious. So you'll move into your dodger flies. Your dodgers are just 6-inch pieces of metal. And the flies, you know, people think of flies. If you fly fish, you might think of like those little flies or something like that. But we call them flies, but they're actually basically just treble hooks that have a skirt of tinsel wrapped around in some color variation, blues, greens, whatever. There's a wide range of tinsel colors and combinations. But your blues and your greens are typical what work year round and you can never go wrong with. Now, these flies themselves, they don't have an action. It's just a skirt that slides up and down the line, most cases, with a hook and some beads on it. So you use the dodger to impart the action. And so that 6-inch dodger wobbles like this. And what that does is when you have your leader to your fly, at about three times the wrap of that Dodger. So you're looking at about 18 inches roughly. You're going to use 40, maybe 50 pound leader line, mono or fluoro line. That thicker line then, because it's stiffer, and when that Dodger wobbles, that stiffer line translates that action to the fly. So now that fly is doing this in the water. It's flopping around. So that is what essentially we use for your salmon in the spring and well into the summer. Folks will use that in the summertime. It's very productive as well. We actually did a video for Lake Michigan Angler with one of the youngest charter captains in the fleet, Captain Blake Hewlin from Storm Forest Charters. And that was one of his big secrets, is that he's using our stubby Dodgers, which are 6-inch Dodgers, but they're fatter, wider than the regular 00 Dodgers. It's like one of the hottest things in our area, and it's starting to get the word starting to get out around the Great Lakes, Lake Michigan, and different areas, especially on the Michigan side. They're starting to catch wind of it and starting to look for them. They're just super effective. The wider base on them it's a more aggressive wobble, which means that fly is a lot more aggressive than the slimmer 00s. Mm-hmm. And so he was using them in the summertime. We went on a trip. We it was a lights out fishing. So you can use that spring all the way through the summertime period, and it's very effective. And then you have your flashers. You move into your flashers. You can use those in the spring. Summertime, they really start to shine. These are 8-inch, boards. You have a couple different kinds. You have like your spin doctor kinds. You have your standard flasher styles, straight board. And then these things kind of rotate over like this. And so your fly, same concept, put the fly behind it. And that adds a different kind of looping, and it kicks. The fly kind of kicks around. And so these two products give you a different action with the same kind of a fly. And sometimes they just want the wobbling thing versus the full rotating thing. Generally, though, flashers really shine when you get into that summer period when you have kings around. Generally, it tends to get your bigger fish, your kings, your bigger coho. We'll take that. A lot of times, your Dodgers is more of like a numbers game. You kind of get your numbers. You get your lake trout off of it. You can get your coho off of it. But when you're looking for like the kings in the area, you're putting flashers in the water. Just that bigger, it's a bigger attractant in the water. It displaces more water. So, you know, these fish are seeing it, very visual. They can feel it, and it brings them into your spread. And from there, they'll either take the fly or they'll break off of it. As I've watched them on the live scope, they'll break off of it. And you might be running a spoon a little bit above and further back off of that where the flasher fly was. A lot of times they'll come in, they'll look at it, that flasher drew them in. They don't take the fly. Cool. They break off and they go up. Oh, and what's coming up behind here? Well, the spoon, and they'll hit your spoon. And so that's the idea. We're running a spread. Is you're looking to lay out your bait in this organized fashion. So as fish come into the spread, they're drawn in by something. They might not take that one, but as they peel off, you've got other things that are way back behind coming in that they might take then. And so that's how the fishing is done. And I see you got some pictures there. Yeah, that orange one, that's a standard Dodger color. Orange, bright orange, 00 Dodger is about as standard as you can get for coho fishing. You've got the spin doctor all the way to the right. It's a flasher. It's a different style. It's unique to Dreamweaver. Uh-huh. And then you got the Wonder Bread. Just a standard flasher right there. As you can see, some of them have fins on the back, some of them don't. And that's going to be in every salmon angler's arsenal are those two or three various types of Dodger and flashers.
And those are trolled. You're not casting or retrieving that, yeah, correct?
Correct. Yeah, those are being trolled. You're putting them on your downriggers. If you're in the kayak specifically, we're putting those on torpedo weights or round ball weights. I personally like going with heavier round balls. I actually picked this up when I was in the Pacific Northwest. You know, our fishing cousins out there that you know, have been fishing for salmon a lot longer than we have, really, because our schnooks are from there, the West Coast. They're the tules. So, you know, going out there, observing how they fish, I picked up some things. And so now with flashers, because these things are they create a lot of drag in the water. So going with a lighter weight means you're going to blow back your lines more. So those are torpedo right there. The biggest size they make is a size 12 ounce, I believe. Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah. Wow. 12 ounce. I use a 16 or a 20 ounce round ball now. And specifically with flashers, just with the flasher, because I want it to get down and stay down with minimal blowback on my line. And it's something I picked up from the West Coast guys, and it actually done really well for me this year. So that's been a little something that I haven't really said. And for those that are listening, it's been a little, I don't say a trick, but it's certainly been a difference and increased my flasher fishing this year for sure compared to previous years. It's helping a lot. So as you can imagine, it's a lot to reel up and set lines. You know, your rod is bent over, so you got to have a good rod holder and all these kinds of things. But yeah, you're going to troll those. You're going to troll those. The other option is lead core. Really effective out of a kayak is lead core. You could put it on a lead core line and just set that back. And lead core is essentially just a it's basically a very thin lead line that is covered in a sheathing material. And as you let out more colors, they call them colors, there's 30 feet in one color. So as you let out one color, it gets you approximately about 5 feet down. So if you do five colors of lead core, you're down around 25 feet more or less. So you use that as a way to get depth as well. These are your long lines. They're stretched out way behind you. So you can run other rods tighter and lower and deeper next to you. And then you can run that straight off your back way off. And it's doing its own thing back there. And I'm convinced that out of a kayak, lead core is probably going to be your best producing rod out of a kayak. And I can dive into that. But there's a whole thing about why I believe it. It's so effective, really is good.
What kind of rod rods do you typically use, like length or brand or anything? And like, do you have any recommendations for what you would recommend for, you know, somebody just getting into everything?
Yes. If you're just getting into it, what I always recommend is going the very affordable route. because if you drop it, if it falls out of rod holder, if you flip, God forbid, and you don't have your stuff leashed, it's better to lose a few dollars than a lot of dollars. One of the best rods I've come across is the Ugly Stick GX2 series rods. They're like $49. They're Ugly Stick. They could take a beating.
Yes,
and here's something that I want to say to folks that are thinking about doing this kind of stuff is that we're trolling. It's not like you're bass fishing where you need to feel sensitivity. You don't want to feel that bite on a worm or a jig. Or we're trolling. It's a reactionary bite. You don't need a rod, a $300 name this brand rod, because it's just being trolled. You can get away with a $20 Shimano TDR. You can get away with a $49 Ugly Stick GX2. They're 7 foot. Get the mediums. And if you're going to use them for like the deep water applications, like using torpedoes, I would go with the medium heavies. They're 7 foot. Don't break the bank. Very affordable. And again, if you lose them, it's not as bad as a loss. They do really, really well. And you could beat them up in the kayak. You know, one thing about the kayak is when you're in there, you're fumbling stuff. I'm always whacking my rods in there. I'm hitting it against the fish finder. I'm hitting it against the rail. My rods are just always, I'm banging them up on something. I go to put it in a rod holder and then I hit it against the, it's so you want a rod that can take some abuse. I really recommend those Ugly Sticks. They're just a great price point and they get the job done. You can pair that with a Akuma Magda series, like their entry level line counters. If you want to step it up, the cold waters are about the best value for your money. Reliable drag system. You really can't go wrong with the cold water series for your to pair it up with. And you know, out the door for two rods, two reels, you're looking at $350, you know, ballpark range. But those are really all you would need. You know, put on some line, 20-pound braid, 30-pound braid, put a little backing on it, like 20-pound, 100 yards, 20-pound mono backing, and then put your braid on over that, 250, 300 yards. And that's your setup. I mean, it really is as simple as that. Now, that's for like the starters. I personally like longer rods, though. So in my videos, when I'm fishing, my rods are like, what are they? Nine. I got nines. The reason why is I like the having that separation, right? So when you think about when I put the rods on the rod holders, from tip to tip across, that's natural, like a spread, right? I don't have to have necessarily planers on there. I can just put them in the rod holders, and there's some natural separation from tip to tip on those two lines behind me. Because what happens is when you're trolling, if you're not careful on your turns, if you turn too quick, you can have or if you're turning in a cross current, that current can blow your lines over. If you get a fish on and you're
less curious, I was just going to ask you about that. I'm like, oh, really? Yeah. I get tangled with one line. I can't imagine.
Yeah. Try running three lines, but that's exactly what happens. Or that's exactly how you'll end up getting your lines tangled and be a nightmare out there on the open water, trying to undo it all. So I personally like longer rods. Other folks like the shorter 7-footers. It's a preference thing. I like the longer ones. It gives me that separation, and it's a little bit more forgiving when I do turn. If I happen to turn a little too tight, it's just a little bit more forgiving. Yeah.
Midway USA brand product designers have one straightforward goal: develop high quality, technically sound products and deliver them to customers at reasonable prices. If you are immersed in the shooting sports industry and pay close attention to every single detail, you know our products are built right and stand up to everyday use. Who has shooting mats and range bag systems to hunting clothing and just about everything for the outdoors? Log on and shop 24/7 with super fast shipping. MidwayUSA.com. Knives, machetes, saws, and shears. Multi-tools, shovels, swords, axes, spears, hatchets, and tomahawks. If it cuts, snips, slices, or chops, Midway USA has it. Find great gift ideas in our huge selection of pocket knives and other everyday carry folding knives. Make a statement or create a family legacy with one of our top-of-the-line hunting knives. We've got a great selection of manual and electric sharpeners, too. For just about everything for the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com.
Awesome. Interesting. Yeah.
What about, I know, when I first was competing in the Great Lakes Kayak Fishing Series salmon event, you know, I was super like intimidated. I'm like, oh my God, it's Lake Michigan. Like I could die type of thing, you know, because you're just like, I've never been. I don't know what I'm doing. What happens if I flip over? What happens if I catch a fish and things go wrong and stuff like that, you know? And so, I know I had first looked into getting like a dry suit type of thing, but I was like, well, you know, how often am I going to be doing this? Is it going to be worth that investment type of thing? Because I know dry suits are pretty pricey, yeah. But when it comes to, you know, your life, definitely worth it. So, yeah, some of the safety aspects of things, what would you recommend to people getting started?
Sure. There's definitely a minimum things you're going to need if you're going to do this. Now, if you're strictly fishing a harbor that's largely protected, obviously things can still happen there. I remember years ago in Milwaukee Harbor in McKinley, it was a king run. We're fishing in there. A person that we all know hooked up with a salmon, and it dragged him into a dock and he flipped. And water was pretty cold. So things can still happen even in harbors. So, you know, you want to be protected. Now, it's one of those things, you know, if you believe you're going to be doing this and really, really fishing throughout the year for the salmon and trout, especially in the cold water, cold temp, you know, periods of the year, you're going to want to have one. If you are just dabbling in it, you're fishing in the summer, water's warm, temps warm. In the fall now, temps are still warm, water's still reasonable in the 60s. I mean, you're going to fall in, you're not going to get hypothermia right away, right? You're going to have time to recover. And if you're in a harbor, there's generally people around. But, going offshore, going out into the open water, definitely want to consider that for your safety, you know, to prevent, mitigate, anyway, the onset of hypothermia, falling into that cold water. You're going to want a marine radio for sure. You need to have a marine radio. You need to be familiar with how to call in to the Coast Guard for an emergency, a Mayday, Mayday call. Basic level 101 kayaking, just general, should know that. You're gonna want lights and flags for your visibility. I can't stress, and I see it right now, it's one thing that you know, it's hard, you know, I find myself in this weird situation where I want to say something, but then I don't want to come across like I'm some kind of Karen on the water. you're in here, you don't have lights. I could barely see you. If a boat or sailboat rolls into the harbor, they're gonna run you over because they can't see you. So it's like, yes. You know, how do you approach that? I always find myself in a weird situation because, again, I don't want come off as what are you doing? but you tend to see that a lot now in the fall because everyone and their mama, you could tell who's fishing just for the Fall Kings, and that's like the only time they come on Lake Michigan. Generally, they got their big fancy bass boats, and they just park themselves in the middle of the channel, which is a navigable water. You're blocking the traffic. It's illegal. You know, pull off to the side. You see those guys. You see the kayak guys with no lights in the dark. It's hard this time of year because, you know, it's like, come on, guys. I want to educate people, but now. And I don't want to come across as, you know, that one. So it's,
and I know with Illinois, if you have a motor on your kayak, you do have to have like the red, green navigation lights, right? Is that
a standard? Yeah, like if you have a motor, you're supposed to. It's interesting. And it's something that I need to follow up on. I heard through the grapevine. So I don't know if there's any truth to it, but someone that I know that I would believe said that Coast Guard advises against it, which seems kind of counterintuitive. So I think there's a little bit, and I think the reasoning was that they don't want bigger vessels to think you're able to move quickly.
That makes sense.
You can move out of the way when you have a little trolling motor. I got a 45-pound thrust. I'm like, I'm not skyrocketing out of the plane.
Watch me go 1,000 miles an hour.
So that was what I heard. And at this point, it's just hearsay. You know, like sure. I need to figure that out. But I guess it doesn't hurt. The more lights to have,
to be
visible, you know, definitely. Want that? I just recently made one of those big LED lightsaber lights, and it's great. You hit me with that on. You were not paying attention in the boat. My boat at the end of the court proceedings. I'm gonna have a new boat, guys. So, lights, radio, PFD, an air horn of some sort, something that you can blow in case boats coming at you to get their attention is great. Those are kind of like the must-haves, you know, the dry suit. Again, if you're someone that believes you're going to really get into this and fish Lake Michigan year round, you're gonna make the investment. It's $600-$700, maybe $500, depending on what you get, but generally like that $500 to $700 range is you're gonna get yourself a decent dry suit. Big tip right here. Get get the dry suits that have the relief zipper. Because I'm telling you, you get into that thing and all of a sudden you have to go pee and you don't have to take off the whole thing. It's right there. You don't want to be stuck in the water with having to pull that whole thing off. So get a relief zipper. Don't be cheap.
Yeah. I can echo that sentiment. That for sure. That's one thing on my dry suit that I.
Let me ask you guys this. I swear to you, I don't have any scientific anything on this, but I'm telling you, every time I'm in my kayak, I swear I have to pee more. Is that a thing?
In the colder months, I kind of notice it. In the summertime, not as much.
Okay.
Because, well, I mean, it's hotter or whatever. I'm probably sweating more, you know, mm-hmm. than anything. But, like, definitely in the spring and fall, like, I'll notice. I'll just be like, dang it, I got to go again.
Yeah. Yeah. My theory is that because we're scrunched down, your bladder's compressed, that mm-hmm. less is being able to, you know, it's compressing it. So the little bit you get in there, you got to release it right away.
That makes sense. It sounds logical anyway.
I mean, you guys got it easy to, you know, be able to go as it is. You know, us ladies, it's a little bit more challenging.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we can just write down the scupper hole and call it a day. Especially with a dry suit on. I can't imagine.
Right. Maybe that could be something you could pitch to like a company or something like that. Hey, if you can make a woman version of a dry suit where it's just like a whole zipper hatch where it just zips and you open everything, hey, man, I would buy that. Like, seriously.
You need to do your own line of that, and there you go.
Right?
Yeah.
So, Michael, I was going to – oh, go ahead, Susie.
Oh,
you want to go for it?
Okay, yeah. Anyway, so I wanted to ask you, just because, you know, I'm still kind of curious and learning about this too. So when you're using, like, the Dodgers and Flashers, what exactly are you sort of, like, imitating or trying to replicate in the water that, you know, those salmon and trout are going to be going after?
Yeah, yeah. No, great question, because it seems very odd, right? When you look at these things, like, mm-hmm. why would this work? So the longstanding belief is that when you have these Dodgers and Flashers, they're wobbling and or rotating. And as these rotations and this wobbling is happening, it's reflecting light. A lot of these Flashers and Dodgers have some kind of reflective tape on it, a UV tape or glow tape, whatever. So the idea and the belief is that they imitate feeding salmon into a school of fish, that the flashes imitate a salmon flash when they run into a bait ball or to attack a fish, right? They turn that, their silver sides reflect in the light, hits them. So the belief is that it imitates feeding salmon. Now the fly behind it that's just doing this is meant to look like an injured bait. So as the salmon goes into a bait school, right, a bait pod, they attack, they slash their tail around. It disorientates some of the bait fish. So those bait fish are like, you know, wobbling around. Oh, what am I doing? You know? and so that's what it's made. That's the belief, is that what's going on in the water. And so another salmon looks and it's like, oh, this one's feeding. Let me see what's going on. These fish are curious, especially coho. Coho are super curious fish. So they'll come in and take a look, and as they come in, they're drawn to the flash and the vibration in the water. Something's going on. They draw into it, and as they get closer, then they see that fly there. It's like, oh, this is an easy meal. Let me go ahead and take it. So in simplest terms, that's the idea as to, you know, how it works and why it works, and the belief.
Awesome.
Okay. Cool. I was going to ask, is there seasons or how does that work? Like, is there times when you can't fish for salmon? And like, I know in PA we have trout season. You can kind of fish for bass most of the year. There are a few, like during the spawn when you're not supposed to target them or, you know, but does that work the same way out there or, you know, with salmon?
No, yeah. You know, the great thing about Lake Michigan is it's a year-round fishery for salmon and trout. Yeah, nice. as long as you can fish, you can fish it year-round, and it's really great. So no restrictions on it, you know, other than your daily limits. Yeah, you can have at it. I'm telling you, you can fish.
That sounds amazing. Yeah.
Early year round. And we're very fortunate, man. You know, when Old Town brought me out to the Pacific Northwest for a fishing project to experience the Fall King Run out of the PNW, it was an experience. Beautiful landscape, fishing in these rivers, different environment, combat fishing. It's incredible how much of a combat fishery that is, and how fragile that fishery is, because they can shut the season down any given day. You know, they can shut it down if too many fish are, as they call it, coming in contact with, because you have to report all these things. It's a very strictly run fishery. When they hit quotas, they'll shut down these fisheries, and you can't fish for, you know, stocked tules, or you can't fish and catch upriver brights. And you know, when I was there, the steelhead fishery was closed altogether because their numbers are so low, they're like super endangered or whatever. Wow. So I came back here and just really grateful and realized how I believe Lake Michigan might be the greatest salmon fishery in the world in terms of, you know, your catch rate and the abundance of fish that you can come here, right? Like out there, it's like one fish, maybe two fish limits. Here it's five. You know, you know, out there we were relegated to just one rod in the water.
Oh wow.
I'm like, and that was very weird to me to fish one rod. I'm like, I don't like, what am I gonna do? Yeah, very different. Came back here and I'm like, man, we're very fortunate. And granted, our fishery is a put and take system. They're stocked, they're meant to be pulled, and that's just how it is. Out there, they're managing a wild resource.
Wild. Yeah.
Not only is fish from the PNW, these fish are running up those rivers all the way up into Canada. So they have quotas so that the Canadians can get some fish. That's why they'll cut it off, so that they'll allow enough fish to go up the river so that the Canadians have a chance at those fish and to stock and restock. So there's a lot out there, and it's a very challenging. So I'm very grateful here on Lake Michigan how easy we got it, I guess, or just, you know, how good we got it with our fishery. So yeah, take advantage.
Cool. And I was curious too. I mean, you were talking about in that video where you're jigging. Now that's obviously not trolling, correct? That you're just sitting above them. And what kind of jig is that? Is that more like a traditional bass jig, or what does that look like?
Yeah, no. So, different times of the year you can do different things. You know, most times you're going to be trolling out in the open water, but there are periods of the year, spring, the fall, winter, where these fish are in harbors. They concentrate up, and that makes it prime opportunity to jig, which is a blast. I mean, there's nothing like jigging for a king. It's the top of the top in terms of catching a king, jigging for him, because you're using a medium action spinning rod. Your standard drop shot rod, or if you're a walleye guy, your standard jigging rod, you know, that you use for walleye, you're going to use.
I can't imagine. Wow.
Yeah. And you're catching 20 plus pound kings on this thing, and they're your rod just. But no, in that video, I was actually using one of the tried and trues. It's like an old Lake Michigan classic setup for jigging for kings, which is just a 3/8 ounce darter jig head with a 5-inch white gulp minnow.
This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
And there's something about that setup that pre-run, I find, before they, like when they start staging in that period, before they really get into the harbors really thick, that white gulp with the darter jig head just does really well. I think, if I had to guess, I think because these fish are just into that period, you know, if you're not familiar, like just a little context, when these kings come in for their fall run, this is the end of their life cycles. They have a 4-year lifespan. At the end of that 4 years, they come into the harbors and the rivers where they were stocked to complete the spawning cycle. The fish on our side largely are believed to not naturally reproduce. They don't just have the right systems or the right stuff in place. A lot of the natural reproduction that we know of is happening on the Michigan side. They have a lot more of those pristine rivers and tributaries where they'll run into cold water, clean and clear. It's more conducive to breeding. So when our fish come into our harbors, in some of the rivers like the Root River and Milwaukee River, stuff like that, there might be, but generally it doesn't happen. But they're still going through that whole process. When as we get closer to that September period, these fish start to stage. When that happens, they stop feeding. And at that point, you're catching these fish out of either aggravating them or natural kind of like instinctual strikes. Mm-hmm. But I think that white gulp in the staging process is so effective just because they haven't forgotten about that eating process. They might not eat actively, but I think something about it might remind them about eating. Smallly thought, because there's a period of time in like August where it really shines. Then once you kind of get into the run, your regular, you know, like P-lines type jigging spoons, then they really start to pick up their own momentum. And I don't find that the salmon hit the gulp setup as much. So these are just things I've observed over, you know, a couple of years now, that there seems to be a period where that jig bite kind of flips a little bit. And that might be just my experience. It could be different from somebody else.
Interesting how, you know, it's almost a little bit relatable to, you know, the bass spawn, because, you know, there's that period of time where, you know, they just kind of don't eat anymore, but they still have like that sort of protective or aggressive bite to them. Right. And like, they know it's food, but they're like, no. Nah.
Right. <You know? laughs> Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, right? They're probably just exhausted from the whole breeding procedure.
Right. Exactly.
They want to relax. And but it's great, because then once they do get on the bite, you smash them up, right?
Oh my gosh. That aggressive bite, man. Yeah. Oh, in the fall time when you're just like trolling like a little crankbait behind you, whether it be the oh my gosh, why am I blanking on what they are?
Flicker minnows?
Yes, flicker shads. Yeah. you know, you control those behind you, you know, you're only going like 1.8 miles an hour, you know, and then just a salmon just totally annihilates it, and your reel is just zzz, and this fish is going airborne several times. Oh my god, like nothing compares with that. Yeah. It is just amazing.
yeah it's a thrill. I mean, it's the top tier fishing in our area. I mean, that it doesn't get any better than that. It's not like we're in the ocean where you can go out for tuna or Goliath or marlin. I mean, we have salmon. That's our apex fish in our area. So it's nothing like it, for sure. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And a little tidbit, you know, I like to give to some new people too, is if you know, you are wanting to use crankbaits and whatnot, I would highly recommend you upgrade your hooks too, because 25-pound king salmon will straighten them or break the out-of-the-box factory ones. So
yeah.
Upgrade your hooks.
Yeah.
It's worth it. Yeah.
You want at least 2X strong hooks or 3 or 4X for sure. Don't, you know, if you bring your little square bill out, it'll catch fish, but it will bend those hooks out immediately. And yes. You'll lose them. Yeah, definitely. Big tip.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, do you have anything else that you want to add as far as, like, you know, salmon fishing goes, or like anything, you know, going around or happening, you know, around your area, any events or anything coming up?
Yeah, well, I'm not sure exactly when folks will get to watch the podcast here, but one of the things that I've been working on since last year is to build and lay the foundation for the Lake Michigan kayak fishing community to come together, meet, network, get information, and also develop and lay the foundation for the competitive scene in doing, you know, what you might call a tournament, but it's not quite like what you think a tournament is. More so, these are just fishing periods. I call them battles. The way we've run this now, first, let me say that this will be the second year that we're going to be doing the King of the Kings kayak battle. And it went over really well last year. People really enjoyed it. This year, we're doing it again. And it's a one-week period, essentially, where you can fish four kings, and it's two categories. The main one is the big five. Put together your biggest five kings over a one-week period. You know, I found that one of the challenges with kayak fishing like Michigan is if you pick one day to do any kind of a tournament or derby or whatever, if that day is crap weather, it's all down the drain, right? It's not like, yes, a boat where if you have a big boat, you can still get out there, you know, 2-3 footers or whatever, and do your thing. You can't do it in a kayak.
No. So
decided we run it for a one-week period. It gives everyone 7 days to figure it out, get out there when you can, for it to take into account weather, family, work, responsibilities. However, you got 1 week to, you can do it all in one day, get all your fish. You could do it out throughout the week. Put together your biggest five fish, and you can do your upgrades as many times as you want to just get your biggest five. And that's like the main one. And this year, the guys in the group wanted to do a side pot for just the biggest fish. So now they've added a category. And so, yeah, we're laying the foundation here to, one, give people in the community a chance to get more on the competitive side. You know, a lot of bragging rights here. This year we're throwing some money into the mix of things to, you know, maybe do some placement cash outs for prizing and stuff like that. And it's something that I look forward to next year, getting potentially, you know, sponsors on board to then fund prizing and grow it there. So the more people that are involved, it helps when I could take those numbers and run it back to companies. Say, hey, we had this many people participate. We had this, da, da, da. Here's our pictures. Here's some video footage of, you know, what it was done. And we can use that to grow things. You know, my ultimate goal, and I would love to see that, you know, there'd be a Lake Michigan kayak fishing series, and that it's three events in the year. And there's a spring period, there's a summer event. And then there's the fall one for the Kings, and then do something where you have the individual thing. And then for the whole year, there's like an Angler of the Year thing, you know, mm-hmm. where it encompasses all three events. And, you know, the springtime for the coho is great because you don't have to go far for them. You go right out in front of the harbors when they're in close. So it's good kayak fishing opportunities for that. And then in the fall for the Kings, summertime is where it gets tricky. I'll separate yeah. the vets from the new guys. Yeah, because you got to get off into the water and find them, you know, depending on the year. Sometimes deep. It just kind of depends on where we're at with the water temps. But that would be the in my mind, that'll be the event that separates, right? Like the crowd from one another. It'll be interesting to see. They were really interesting. So, you know, we haven't got there just yet. I'm largely doing this myself with the help of Rob and a few other folks, but so it's a lot to juggle because I'm still managing my own thing and my content and trips and stuff, and I'm trying to do this in parallel. So we'll see how it goes. I'm not trying to overburden myself, but it's open to anybody wants to get involved, you know. So look up Lake Michigan Kayak Fishing group on Facebook and just request to join it and get you in there.
Cool.
Awesome. I'm excited for you, man. I love what you've been doing. Like, your videos and everything have just, again, you know, I'm just like, I'm watching everything and I'm like, God, I want to go salmon fishing right now. Like, legit. Last week I had 3 nights in a row where I dreamed of salmon fishing. So,
just get out there. You hold the rod, have someone else reel it in for you.
There you go.
Good arm. The only one with a good arm.
Be like, here, reel it in.
No, I mean, you hold the rod, just have someone lean over and reel it in. Yeah, you know? Great. With the will, there's a way. With
I know it. But yeah, definitely excited to, you know, see how things progress for you. And I love your idea of, you know, having like a sort of like a league or, you know, series or whatever, you know, you end up calling up, man. Yeah. Like I could see this thing growing, kind of, you know.
I think maybe like a club. I think a club might be the best kind of thing. And then within the club, you know, we organize stuff around it. You know, because again, it's very different. You know, when you look up how tournaments run and they're on site, it's a one that's not how this works. It's more of like here's a period. You go out and fish within it. You just bring back the stuff. You weigh it in. You weigh in your fish at Lake Michigan Angler, and then we do it. So it's not quite online like you would like an online KBF thing, but it's not exactly. It's a very unique system, and I think that's the way it has to work for kayak fishing Lake Michigan. I don't think any other kind of a format, you know, like shout out to the GLKF on their thing, but a lot of times, I mean, last few years, you got one day to fish in. I always screw up the name Manitowoc.
Yeah.
You got one day to fish it, and generally that day is crap weather.
It's crap.
Crap weather. It's rainy. Oh. It's super windy. I'm like, man, I haven't gone because I just feel like I don't want to drive 4 hours to. It's not just fun to fish in that crappy weather.
Exactly.
And I fish enough that I don't feel like I need to. I'm not stressing the one day for a tournament. Like I'm not.
Right.
You know, my focus on creating. I don't participate in even in the stuff that I'm organizing. I don't participate because I feel like I don't feel right. The optics of organizing it. And then if I win, I don't. It's for you guys. I'm just helping to lay the foundation and then try and get brands involved to grow it. And that's the extent of my involvement. I'm more interested in the filming and educating side of it and not necessarily the tournament stuff. I just enjoy watching others, you know, go at it. And yeah, it's kind of where I'm at with it.
Awesome.
Cool. Well, I know we usually like to give you a chance to shout out like where folks can find you online and that kind of stuff, like with your social media and stuff.
Yeah. Everything is Shy City Yaker, ShyCityYaker. YouTube channel for all the videos, Instagram and Facebook. Those are the three places where I'm at, where I can be reached for the videos you can check out. You know, there's a lot of good stuff there on rigging, on technique, on just out there and the experience on the big water. You know, throughout the year, I'll do webinars, and these are great opportunities to, you know, in the videos, I don't want to make these extravagantly long videos. We all know we all have our attention span. So I try to keep it within, you know, I try to keep it action packed, meat and potatoes of the content. And because of that, I don't always get to dive into the nuances of the techniques. So the webinars are a great complement to what I do because then I really get to, because I get to put it on a PowerPoint and write it down. I can talk about, this is why I do this. And here's the, you know, these are the little things that you're like, oh, that, that makes sense. Right. Cause I don't get to talk about it in the video. So the webinars and people are loving it, you know, it's been great because I started it this year and the first one I did was for Spring Coho. I had a bunch of people sign up for it. We did the webinar literally a few days later, a couple of like a couple of the folks that were in the webinar emailed me like, oh my God, thank you so much. I limited out on Coho for the first time. That was, you couldn't have done it without the information you gave me. And I'm like, dude, that made my day. You know, that's really cool. And so the webinars are there. I also do like on the water classes, and we'll take like a small group of folks and we'll go out, and it's more of like a practical application. We'll take them out, and I did a spring on the water. So I take people out, and we get their setups going with their Coho rigs. I'd show them how to set their lines, how to do this, how to do that. And then we go out and they would go fish, and I'm just kind of floating around, do a little fishing myself, but I'm mostly there to like an instructor or a coach just going around. You know, they hook up and I speed on over to them, and all right, this is how you want to fight the fish. They calm. A lot of people, when you get hooked, it's your adrenaline kicks in and you're like, oh. And that's the fastest way to lose that fish, because you're starting to kind of freak out in a good way. You're like happy, excited. So I got to coach people through. Okay, take your time, do this. You know, so I'm teaching people how to properly fight these fish, bring them in, do this, do that, so that they can build the confidence up, they can get the knowledge, and then again, they can take that and apply it on their future fishing trips, so they can be successful. So that's really fun. I really enjoy it. And then on the weekends, you can find me at Lake Michigan Angler. It's essentially the premier salmon fishing specialty shop in the northern Illinois, southern Wisconsin area for all your salmon and trout tackle. Not just that, but we've got a lot of stuff for your ice fishing needs, live bait as well. So if you're looking to get rigged up, if you're a kayak, it doesn't matter if you're kayak, small boater, big boater, if you ever need anything, flashers, dodgers, weights, rods, reel setups, leg cores, wired divers, everything. We got everything to get you set up. We can also instruct you on how to use it properly, so that, you know, our goal is to educate you from the jump on what you need, so it saves you money down the road from buying whatever you find anywhere else. And you realize, oh, that wasn't the right buy. I just wasted money. We're really adamant about getting you set up the right way from the jump. You save a little bit. You're going to save in the long term, because we're giving you the stuff we know works for our charter captains day in and day out. It's going to work for you. And, you know, again, a lot of stuff, you don't have to break the bank. You really don't, to get out here and have a good time and get on some salmon.
Awesome.
Awesome.
All right. I guess we'll start wrapping it up, I guess. Thanks again for coming on. Folks, if you guys want to look up Michael, and we'll have links in the show notes for all the things he talked about. Plus, we'll make sure we include some of the setup stuff that he was talking about, like the ugly stick rod and the reel, and maybe some examples of some of those
flashers. Yep.
Yeah. So make sure you check that out in the show notes. And again, thanks, Michael. I appreciate you so much coming on. And you know, that I need to make a trip up to Lake Michigan now for sure. So
now's the time. Now's the time.
I think we should have a paddle and fin meet up there, Susie. What do you think?
You know what? We need to have a fall event and do
exactly
this type of thing.
Exactly.
Just the whole weekend, you know. Yep.
There you go.
Let's do it.
The fall run is about to start. I mean, on Monday, it was on fire. I went 4-for-7 on Kings.
Oh, God. Yep. Oh. That's awesome.
Yeah, they were smacking the cranks. It was dumb. And then the next day, it was terrible.
It's crazy how fast it changes.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's just like one day you're out there and it's
dynamite.
One
day was fire. I go out the next day. I had a guided trip, no less. And I'm like, oh yeah, it's gonna be good again. Nothing changed, you know, with the water. Everything, you know, mostly the same.
Same.
It wasn't like significant difference. We didn't have a drastic change overnight of weather conditions. But they were just, a lot of fish left the harbor again. So they're very fluid. Anyway, not to deter, but thank you guys so much for having me. I really do appreciate it. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you, Michael.
Yep. John, all right, guys.
I remember how to close it out again. No.
Yeah. We'll take care of that. So, guys, thanks again for tuning in to another episode of Bass Fishing for Noobs. We'll have to change the title for today just to be Salmon Fishing for Noobs. But thanks for tuning again. This has been Bass Fishing for Noobs on the Paddle and Fin Podcast, where we bring you the techniques, the tricks, and the tips to help you rip more lips. You guys have a good night.
Thanks for tuning in to another killer episode here on Paddle and Fin. Be sure to drop a 5-star rating, a thumbs up, or smash that subscribe button on any platform you're listening in on. Be sure to check us out on Waypoint TV, waypointtv.com. Make sure you sign up for the Fantasy Kayak Fishing League at paddleandfin.com/fantasy. You could support this show through Patreon, patreon.com/paddleandfin. Don't forget to check out the website, paddleandfin.com. Catch us on YouTube. If you got a question, comment, or want to see a future guest on the show, be sure to email us at paddleandfin@gmail.com. Shout out to our show supporters, Yak Gadget. You can check out all the fine kayak accessories at yakgadget.com. Pelican Professional. For all your cases, coolers, and lighting needs, go to pelican.com. Rocktown Adventures. Your Midwest premier paddle sports destination, go to rocktownadventures.com. Eastport Marina, the beautiful destination on Dale Hollow Lake. If you're looking for lodging, kayaks, kayak accessories, or anything fishing related on the beautiful Dale Hollow Lake, go to eastport.info. And Jigmasters Jigs, when in doubt, get the jig out. Go to jigmasters.com and fill your tackle boxes today.
On Mondays, head offshore with Captain Scott Walker and Steve Roger for breathtaking deep-sea adventures.
Coming to me.
Double. He's jumping.
Oh!
Look at that belly.
Don't miss Mondays with Into the Blue, brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern.
Tell a few fish stories along the way.
On Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.
You go out there and the fish are where you think they are, any one of these casts could be the bite. It's the most exciting fishing that I know, right here at Hawk's Cave.
Oh, that's awesome!
Experience the best saltwater fishing the world has to offer. Don't miss Thursdays with Saltwater Experience, brought to you by Golden Boat Lifts, every Thursday night from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.